family of missing woman Ezra Yuron are renewing their appeal for information about her whereabouts because today marks the 8th anniversary of her disappearance. The 34-year-old left her home in Clondalkin in February 2011 and got into a car to go and buy some milk, and that is where the story ends, at least the story as we know it ends. But her sister, Berna Fidan, is in studio with me now. Berna, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's a sad time of year for you, obviously.
It's a very sad time of year, yes.
Tell me the circumstances surrounding this, because she goes out and that's the end of the story, at least the story as we know it.
Well, that's the story as we know it too, to be honest with you. The morning of 23rd of February 2011, it was a Wednesday. It was midterm week. It was also election week. She had got up that morning, as usual, her and her husband and the baby. Her husband had said to her that day that he was going to take the car for the day because he wanted to go to the gym on the way home from work. So her husband said to us, she said, "Oh, well, if you're going to take my car for the day, let me just nip out to the shops, buy a few bits that I need. And then when I return, you can take the car for the day. Then I don't have to pop out again because the weather's a bit chilly and I don't want to take the baby out." And that was it. So it was between 7:15 and 7:20. He said that she left the house and she would have only been going to the local, maybe Neilstown or the very close vicinity to Collinstown where she lived.
So a 5 or 6 minute drive, not even that.
Not even. No. And that was it, basically. She left the house and never been seen again.
Now, the interesting thing from an East Coast point of view is what happens next in relation to the car.
Basically, when she left the house at that time, the first sighting of her number plate, because in this country, unfortunately, most of the CCTVs don't see who the driver is of the car. They just read number plates along the M50 or whatever.
Yeah, if you're lucky, by
If you're lucky, yeah. And so her car registration was picked up at the Power City roundabout in Clondalkin, which is literally 3-4 minutes drive from our home. Now, being midterm week, it's probably even quicker because you haven't got the schools and you haven't got the traffic. But unfortunately, her, the time that her car was, the registration was picked up, it was just before 8 a.m. Now, this is over half an hour from when she's left the house. And our question's always been, did something happen in that space of time?
Between leaving the house and being spotted at the roundabout.
Yes. Yeah. Which is supposed to be, as I said, 3-4 minute journey. But why has it taken half an hour? Hmm. Did she stop off? Did someone flag her down? You know, and then after that sighting, her registration was read along the M50 into Bray. And then her car was then later parked up at Bray's Head round. Well, it's the Star Leisure.
Close to Brayhead.
Yeah, yeah, close to Brayhead, yeah. At the bottom of Brayhead. So it was the Star Leisure car park. Mm. Now, the gentleman at the Star Leisure at the time, he actually let me view the CCTV, and we could see her car, although, the CCTVs are appalling, where you can't see who the driver is. You can just pick up the number plate as it came into the car park. But the car comes in and leaves within less than 30 seconds, then goes round the one-way system again, because there's only one way out of it. Then comes back through Convent Avenue, back onto the Strand, where then there's a near collision with a Skoda Octavia. And then it looks like this. She pulls, or her car, I'm not saying she pulls because I'm still not convinced that she was driving the car. Her car pulls to one side, then the car goes forward, but then it looks like a chase. It was very erratic driving on the CCTV, where it goes back to back, and then the car goes through the one-way system, but her car goes into Bray's Head, like the car park again, at the Star Amusement Centre, and then passes the camera sections and parks in a blind spot, so we never see who came out of her car.
But was she a cautious person? I mean, would she have been cautious in a car, for example?
She's the most cautious driver you can come across. She's not the most confident driver,
right?
So she would never speed up and drive like a lunatic anyway. And the fact that, why, you know, if you're going into a car park to park, why haven't you just parked the first time? Why have you left the car park? And why have you come back round to park in a blind spot? That always confused me. When her car was originally, because the cameras, the Garda cameras that was watching the Strand, are on a swing motion. So they don't swing round to see the car park until after 10 a.m. when the car park is full. So when Channel 4 came over with me and we did some filming, a part of the caption that was shown on the programme was of a full car park, and her car was parked literally two bays from the very end. And so we had callers come in saying, oh look, there's, you know, a few caravans there that could be suspicious, but they were not there at 8:30 in the morning when her car drove in. You know, when I watched the footage, most of that car park was completely empty.
Right.
So she could have parked anywhere, or her car could have parked anywhere, but chose to sort of leave and come back and park in a blind spot.
Okay, just okay. So the car the car arrives at the park leisure at the leisure centre car park, and she has not been seen since.
No,
you're stuck with a situation where she is technically still a missing person in this country.
Yeah, she is a missing person in this country.
What do you think happened to her?
Do you know, I have no idea. I've had a million and one things go through my mind. You know, and I've thought, has she been abducted? Did she stop off for someone? You know, they've tried to convince me she's committed suicide. Well, the guard had tried to convince me of this at the beginning. And I've turned around and said all the time, give me a body before you talk to me about suicide. You know, even if she went into the sea, she would have been washed up somewhere
by now. She would by now, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it's likely she would have been.
Yeah, it's likely that she would have been. And we had searches done, so, you know, so many searches done right at the beginning. We had the Bowen fishermen come out, the search crew came down from Limerick, came out. They searched the sea week one, week three, week five, week 10. And it wasn't just done once or twice, it was done 6 times. And we had the public come out, they walked, you know, Bray's Head with us. We've done one search after another over the years, and we've not found one shred of evidence that she's ever been in Bray. We haven't found, you know, any items of clothing or any sightings of her, no CCTV images of her anywhere.
So she may not have been in the car at all.
She may not have been in the car.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of the Garda investigation, and I know exactly what happens in these cases. It's not a murder. There's no body. Missing people sort of do tend to drop off the face of the earth in terms of the investigation. You've done very well to keep the thing alive. Yeah. Where are you now, and what do you need from people?
I need people to dig deep, really. I mean, there's no way that someone's going to go completely, you know, off radar without somebody knowing about it. Somebody must know, or somebody must have seen something. I believe that there are people out there, or one or two people out there, that may have known what's happened to her. But really, they just need to come forward, because it is a heartache for us as a family to have to keep going over and over this. It's not fair. It's traumatic for us, you know. It's hard to wake up in the mornings and think, where is she? There's not a day that goes past without us thinking about her, talking about her. I just don't know where to go with this anymore. I really don't. I don't know where to look anymore. It's got to that stage.
And what about the rest of your family and her family?
My mum is holding on. Her health is not good. She's had one illness after another. She's had a mini stroke, she's had cancer, she's battled through that as well. She's now been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver because of her diabetes, and she's teetotal. My brother had a heart attack last year. It's taken its toll on all of us. There's a child out there that's growing up without his mum. You know, he's 10 and a half now, and all he knows is mum went to the shop and got lost. And that's not fair for him either.
And it's very difficult for people to understand that the wide spread, the ripple effect of an event like this on other people, and the impact it can have on the families and loved ones and so on. It must be very difficult for you.
Is this traumatic for us, you know, to have to live this all the time? And, you know, I come here, we was down here yesterday, we put posters up again along Bray Front and everything, near the seafront and in the town centre. And I try and switch myself off putting the picture, you know, the posters up, because I just pretend I'm not looking at my sister's poster that I'm putting up, because it's just heart heartbreaking. You know, people put up posters of their pets that are missing and this that's missing. But I'm having to put up a poster of a person. And it's even more heartbreaking when 2 days later they've been ripped off as well. And they don't last long. And I'm just hoping that while they're up, somebody sees and thinks, you know what, I do remember something. I just need that person to come forward. We'll be going to Clondalkin tomorrow, which is the actual anniversary, to put posters up along where she lived over there as well. But I just don't know what to do anymore. I really don't.
Okay, well, we're appealing on your behalf, Bernard. It's very nice of you to come in and see us this morning. We wish
really
you and your family very well.
I appreciate it.
Now, if you have any information, be it large or small, or any clue whatsoever about how it happened to Ezra Uron, if I pronounced it properly, Uron, the family are appealing for information about her. Tomorrow will mark the 8th anniversary of her disappearance. And the phone numbers you can call, any Garda station, by the way, you can walk into. Of course you can, any time, day or night, and give them information. Or you can ring the confidential line, 1800-666-111, 1800-666-111. And Berta, once again, thanks for coming in. Thank you. Mm-hmm.